Hallelujah. Dear God, we are here. God, you created us for your glory. You created us for your pleasure. And God, forgive us for when we've gotten it twisted. Forgive us for when we've gotten distracted and failed to remember, God, that you created us to worship and bring glory and honor to you today and every day of our lives. God, we come this morning, God, just to lift your name in praise. We thank you for your goodness to us, for being faithful. We thank you for your unconditional love. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the blood that cleanses us and washes us from all of our sins. Thank you for being patient with us, God. God, today as we gather, we are in awe as we look upon the expanse and see what your hands have done. God, we marvel at your majesty and your greatness, Lord, and your creative genius and power. And help us, Lord God, to never lose sight of that, to never lose sight of your majesty and never lose sight, Lord God, never stop being in awe of you. We praise you now. And we thank you, Lord God. I'm so grateful that a God who's so big, who's so strong, so mighty, God, but is so near to us. A God who's so personal, a God who's concerned about every single detail of my life. I'm thankful today. We're grateful today. Now show us your face. God, we come, we gather not for more information, not to hear another good word, but God, we desire transformation. God, we need you to change us from the inside out, God. We need a metamorphosis that only you can bring about, God, today. So we come to relinquish our will in exchange for yours. We thank you. We pray for everyone, God, under the sound of my voice. We pray for those who are watching, those who are here, those who are not able to be with us because of sickness and illness. God, we pray for healing in their bodies. I thank you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, oh. Can y'all just say that? Can I hear you say, oh? Oh, oh. Anybody been desperate in 20 and 2021? If you have, just say, oh, oh. Sometimes you didn't know what to say this past couple of year and a half, right? Oh, oh. Come on, just say it one more time. Oh, oh. Oh, oh. Amen. 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 Praise God. If you are a guest here in Encounter Life, can we give all of our guests a round of applause? Honk your horn for all of our guests who are here on the parking lot with us. For those of you who are at home watching with us, we're just grateful, honored that you chose to worship with us today. I want you to do me a favor. If this is your first time connecting with Encounter Life, we want to connect with you. We're going to give you a digital way that you can do that. You can do it via text or right on our website. So if this is your first time, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to text us to 301-804-2520, 301-804-2520. And I want you just in the message, just type the word new, N-E-W, meaning I'm new. This is my first time. If you're a guest, 301-804-2520, text the word new. There's a digital connect card that we'd like you to fill out so we can connect with you. Look, we all, if you're here, we also have gifts for our guests. We want to be able to honor you. Thank you for worshiping with us. If you're in your car, you can do that as well. If you don't have access to a phone, you're by a computer, you can do it by going right to the website, encounterchurch.net/next. That's our digital connect card. You can fill that out. And there's some people who say, look, I'm not tech savvy. I'm not texting. I'm not getting on the, I'm not doing any of that. If you're here, look, we got the good old fashioned hard copy paper ones at the table here. If you're new on the parking lot, please fill out the connect card before you leave today. Amen. Amen. This morning we are, this is the last Sunday in October. Aren't y'all glad God has been faithful? Last Sunday in September, October is on the horizon. Before y'all know it, it's going to be Christmas. But I praise God that we are still here. And some of you know my family, COVID hit my house last week, in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. All three of my children were COVID positive. But I praise God that they are not positive any longer. Amen. Praise God for that. I praise God that nobody got really sick, that the worst we had was maybe a little headache. But I praise God that God got us all through it. I praise God that my wife is safe. I praise God that I've been saved. God has been faithful. Amen. Amen. We praise God for that. He's a God who answers prayer. Also, we want to honor the couple that that made it possible for us to even gather today. My parents, Pastor Mac and Sister Dolores, on Tuesday, celebrate their 53rd wedding anniversary. Amen. Can we honor them? 53 years. Wow. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And also, I don't know if they're here. Is Sister Clara Jackson here? Are the Jacksons here? Sister Clara. Okay, I thought I heard her. Amen. Today's a special day. Sister Clara turned 70 years old today. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. We're going to sing happy birthday to her. Also, it's Dr. Barbara Hutchinson's birthday. She's not out here with us, but we praise God. This is it's a great day. It's a good season. God is doing some good things in the midst of all of it. Amen. God is still good. He's always good, no matter what the circumstances. I told somebody the other day, I said, listen, everything in life that is good for you doesn't always feel good to you. Amen. Everything in life that is good for you doesn't always feel good to you in the moment. God sometimes takes you through some stuff, but he always promises that he's working it for my good and for his glory. That's what it's all about. Amen. But sometimes it requires a shift in our thinking, a shift in our perspective, a shift in our mindset. And this morning, that's so fitting because that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're coming from a topic, what's on your mind? You know, I was reading an article about a woman. This is an article that came out in Reuters in 1994. It was about a woman in China, a Chinese woman. And her name was Zhang Maihu. And this woman, she was 20 years old, and when she got to turn 20, she started having this mysterious, all these kind of strange symptoms. She was starting to lose her nimbleness in her extremities, her legs and her arms, upper and lower extremities, she couldn't move them nimbly like she used to. And she went to doctors, and they could not figure out what was going on. She went to several doctors, and these symptoms continued. And they kept going. After going to doctors, they still couldn't find it out. 20 years later, the woman was still having symptoms, and began to escalate because she started to suffer from chronic headaches. After 20 years of having these symptoms, finally this woman went and got a CAT scan and an X-ray. And what they found would amaze you. What they found on the X-ray, they found the source of her symptoms. While her limbs weren't acting right, she was having headaches and all of these other symptoms. You know what the source was? There was a rusty pin that had gotten lodged in her skull, and the head of the pin was right on the outside of her skull, but the tip of the pin had pierced through her brain. And the doctor said it probably happened when she was a little baby, right? Because as we know, sometimes when we're born, all of our bones, when we're little, they're soft. So they have to harden. Those ossification centers have to harden. It said this pin somehow got lodged in her head before her bones had hardened and got stuck there, and nobody knew it was inside. And that was sticking in her head, and after noting the position of the pin, they had did surgery, and they were able to take the pin out, and all of her symptoms went away, and she went back to normal. And the woman says she had no memory of ever how that pin got in there or ever being pierced by that pin. But I'm here to tell you, just that lady, that rusty nail, that rusty pin that was stuck in her brain was causing her symptoms. Sometimes there's some of us who got stuff stuck in our mind that's causing us some negative things in our life too. Sometimes we have like negative thoughts, bad attitudes, painful memories that get lodged themselves in our minds and cause us all kind of chronic problems. Amen, somebody. Anybody had a witness that they've had some things that they had stuck in their mind that they couldn't get rid of? And today we're going to be asking the question, what's on your mind? And God wants to look. I'm here to tell you, you can change your world. You can change your whole life by changing the way you think, by changing what's on your mind. There's an amazing book that As a Man Thinketh. Listen, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And today we're going to be looking at a text that is familiar to some of you, maybe not as familiar to others, but it's in the book of Romans chapter 12. And we've been in this series over the last, this is our fourth week in this series, week four, and the series has been called Back at It, Prioritizing Our Relationship with Christ. And today we're going to close on this topic, but what's on your mind? If we're going to prioritize our relationship with Christ, we're going to have to do some changing in what we put in our minds. Amen. We're going to have to do some changing on what we're thinking about and meditating on. And in the Bible in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect." How many of y'all have ever asked that question? Man, I want to know God's will for my life. God's showing us today in his word that it really starts with a renewing of our mind. The title of the message is What's on Your Mind, and I've got 4 points that I want to give to you that God just, there's this kind of, sometimes when you read the Bible, I don't know if you've ever done it, you read a scripture that you've read time and time again, and then all of a sudden stuff just jumps out at you. And I knew where I was coming this morning, but yesterday I knew where we were going, but early this morning I got up and I just read the passage again, and these four things just jumped off the page at me this morning. These were added. These are additions that were added this morning. Amen. Y'all pray with me and for me. Can y'all do that? Because God just revealed this to me. It's right in the text. God's word will speak by itself. He's just calling us, me, to illuminate his revelation. And right in the word of God, what I see, if we want to have a new mind, if you want to prioritize your relationship with Christ, if you want to change your life, because I said earlier, this is not about more information. If you tune in today to hear more information, man, in 2021, you can hear sermons everywhere. You can go to church 10 times on a Sunday, online. Y'all don't need no more information. What we need is change. And change starts from the inside. And if that's going to happen, it's right here in the text. Number one, I see in the text, if God is going to change you, if you're going to become a new person, if he's going to make you, if you're going to change by renewing your mind, it's going to start by, number one, you must grasp the magnitude of all that God has done for you. It's right here in the verse. It says, verse 1, "Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you." We got to start right there. If I'm going to change, if I'm going to experience transformation, I got to get a good handle and understanding and comprehend the magnitude of all that God has done for me. Y'all, the old song said, "When I think of his goodness and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for saving me." Hallelujah. That word universal, praise the Lord. Meaning my life should be a praise offering when I think of all that you've done for me, God. When we look at chapter 12, listen, chapter 12 is a culmination. If you go back and look at all the other chapters, in chapter 8, he says, "Now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ." He said, listen, look, he said, "For the wages of sin is death," in chapter 6, "but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." He said that the law of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. All of this was in Romans before he gets to chapter 12. And though now he said, in light of all of this, you ought to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Listen, when you consider all that he's done for you. Today, when was the last time you took inventory of all God has done in your life? See, if you're going to change the way you think, it starts with me. When I look back over my life, hallelujah, and I think things over, I can clearly say that I've been blessed because I've got a testimony. How many, anybody got a testimony of God's goodness in your life? See, if you're going to have a new mindset, it starts with me grasping all that God has done. In my devotion this week, I was reading Ephesians chapter 1, and Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the mighty working of his strength. He said, I pray that you're enlightened. Pray that your eyes are open so you can grasp all God has done. Today, sometimes we can lose sight on all that God has done. When we are bombarded and inundated with negative images and negativity, sometimes I can get to complain. Can I confess? I'm guilty. I can get CNN'd out. I can get Instagrammed out, Twittered out. Tweet it out because I got all of this in my mind and I lose sight of all God has done for me. The Bible said, look, in Ephesians, later in Ephesians chapter 3, one of my favorite scriptures, he said, I pray that you being rooted and firmly established in love, Ephesians 3:18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints that what is the length, the width, the height, the depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Today, if you're going to think right, you got to start with you grasping the magnitude of what God has done for you. Sometimes we can be saved. You know, you've been saved for a while. You've come to know Christ. And you come to know him, and you can kind of get so familiar with God that you forget to be in awe of him. Love that song they sang last week. Oh, Lord, you are my king, and I'm in awe of you. When I think that you brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light, to think of what a messed up individual I am and myself, and that you still love me, and that when I drop the ball today, you don't stop loving me. Me messing up doesn't diminish your love. Man, when you really get a hold of that, it'll change the way you think. Today, God said, listen, if you really want to have the right mindset, if you want to be transformed from the inside out, it starts with you, number one, grasping the magnitude of all God has done for you. But that verse, it says, that was towards the last part, but he says, and so, dear brothers, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Once you grasp the magnitude of all God's done for you, number two, what you have to do is give my body to God as an act of worship. Give my body to God as an act of worship. Once I think of all he's done, the next response is, God, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. God, when I think of all that you've done, it says it's my reasonable service. The only thing that makes sense is for me to offer you my body as an act of worship. He said, this is true worship. We said tonight, we said earlier that, listen, that we to worship you, I live. I live to worship you. Today, God is asking us to give our bodies as living sacrifices, as an act of worship. Last week we talked about the discipline of fasting, denial of self. And when I offer my body to God, he says as a living sacrifice, when you think sacrifice, sacrifice and pain usually go together. Sacrifice does not usually something that feels good. It's a denial of self. That's why we talked about fasting. Fasting, we said we want to put aside the natural so that we might achieve something supernatural. And so what he's telling us to do, and I said it's a painful thing, but see, that is all a relative thing. When you think about it, it depends on what the goal is. See, when I'm what I sacrifice for is all dependent on what the goal is or how painful I perceive it. See, I was talking to a family member yesterday who played high-level college sports and even into the professional realm. And one of the things that he told us yesterday, he said, listen, from my background where I grew up, I knew that the only way that I was going to get to college, the only way that I was going to get to the next level, listen, nobody showed me a roadmap. My parents didn't have the resources to provide it. Only way that I was going to do it is that I was going to have to get it through a scholarship in sports. And that was going to require what? Sacrifice. So his perception of the pain is going to be different. See, for him, he can endure the pain. Yes, it's uncomfortable, but it's a necessary evil. It's a necessary thing. I know that the goal is so worth it, so I can endure the pain. I'm willing to sacrifice. And in fact, I don't even look at it as much as a sacrifice. This is something that's necessary to get to the goal. And see, when you view God, when you say, Lord, you look at him as a treasure. When I think of all he's done for me, I'm willing to present my body, God, because when you listen, I can stand for you because you hung for me. And yes, is it uncomfortable? That's why the Bible said, look, these light afflictions are but for a moment, but they're working a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. They're afflictions, but our perception of them is light. Why? Because what we got on the other side is so much greater. So when I think of the magnitude, the next option is what? I give my body to God as an act of worship. Giving my body to God, that goes in a lot of aspects, from what I put in it, when I feed it, what I do with it sexually, what I feed it with my mind. I got to give my body to God. I am not my own. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're not our own. We've been what? Bought with a price. We got to, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? If you want to renew your mind, if you want to transform your world, renew your mind. Number one, grasp all that God has done for you. Number two, you must give your body to God as an act of worship. And number three, you got to get rid of the garbage. What does he say right here? He says in our text right here, he says in verse 1, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living, holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And then what does he say? He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. If you're going to renew your mind, if you're going to transform your world, you got to get rid of the garbage of this world. He said, listen, do not be consumed. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. We got to be here. We're here on an assignment. We have a kingdom agenda. We cannot get it twisted and get confused about our assignment. Y'all ever, I love watching movies. I always watching these action movies. And have y'all ever seen one of these movies where there's somebody in deep undercover? Or they're a spy? And that they have to get so close to the enemy that they don't. On occasion, I've seen some of these movies where the person who was undercover actually turned over to the other side. They done forgot what their assignment was. They got so close to, they were put in there to get close to them so that they can apprehend the enemy, but they got so connected to the people that they supposed to apprehend that they started being like them and they couldn't even get them out. They went so deep undercover, they didn't flip to the other side. I'm afraid sometimes in the church that happens to us too. We right here, we're in the world, and yes, I got to work with them, but I done forgot my work is supposed to be an extension of my worship. And now there's no distinction, there's no delineation. We look just like the world does. They can't see a difference from us. That's no wonder people don't want to come to church, because they say, if that's what a Christian is, I'm good right here. They do more dirt than I do. He said, listen, if I want to ever renew my mind, I got to get rid of the garbage. I got to change my perspective. Don't copy the customs and patterns of this world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Listen, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. But it's perspective. If you go on in verse 17, it says, and this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. All of these things that we run after and go after like the world, it's not even going to last, y'all. He said, you got to get rid of the garbage. You got to get rid of the garbage. If you want to transform your world, you want to be transformed by your mind being renewed, it's going to take a volitional act of your will not to pattern yourself after the world. And it's so challenging Because we're inundated with the world system. We're inundated with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's around us all the time. It's like we can try to get away from it, but it's just it by passive diffusion. Sometimes it just comes in. But it requires us to be intentional. Don't copy the world. Don't lose sight of your assignment. That's why point number one is so important. Once you grasp the magnitude of what he's done, it'll help you keep a kingdom perspective. The question today is, what garbage, what mindset, what customs have I adopted from the world that I need to take out? I got to get rid of the garbage. It's very hard to be transformed if I'm filling myself up with trash. And a Sunday morning worship service doesn't get rid of that. Amen? You got to get rid of the garbage. What do I have to do? Number one, if I want to transform myself, what's on your mind? If I want to renew my mind, it starts with me grasping, getting a hold of all that God has done for me. Not only that, after I get a hold of what he's done for me, I must give my body to God as an act of worship and then must get rid of the garbage. But listen, once you say, look, I'm going to stop filling my mind up on TV. You know, sometimes now, it used to be back in the days, but now, you know, with television and the internet, you got Hulu, you got Sling, you got Netflix, all of these other things. There used to be a time when if I'm going to watch a series, a show that I like, I watch it 1 week, then I got to wait till next Monday for it to come around. Now, with Hulu and everything else, you know, you can watch the whole series in one sitting. It's called binge watching. Anybody ever binge watched a show today? Come on, amen. You could wave your hand. Thank you. Amen. And so now, before you know it, 6 hours have gone by. And you have watched a whole series, a series that would have taken you a month and a half to finish. You watched it in one evening or one afternoon, all day, filling your mind up with a series, and most likely it's garbage. And now I'm here to tell you that the whole world's agenda, I said, don't copy the patterns and customs of this world. Listen, what they do now is the way that the devil gets us to copy the patterns of this world. There are certain things as Christians we know in God's word, he says he's against. But what the devil does, he desensitizes you to them. The more you're exposed to them on social media, the more you're exposed to them in television, I know this is not right. I'll just fast forward this part. And it gets to the point where you see that couple on there and say, hold on, that's not a traditional family. Something is a little mixed up right here. There's something confused. I can look over that because the show is so good. And now you're watching it so much, you become desensitized to the enemy's agenda. And that's how we take on the customs and patterns of this world. It's so much, and it used to be that it had to happen through television. You go sit down on television. Now you got this little device in your pocket. You can watch TV at work. Sometimes I'm at work, and I'm like, what are y'all doing? Oh, I'm watching Hulu. We're watching TV at work. If it's not TV, what are you doing? Oh, I'm on Instagram. It's Instagram. You feed and watch. I got other people's Instagram feed. I got ratchetness right in the palm of my hand. It's so hard for us to mimic God's character if we're always filling ourselves up with what? Garbage. God said, you got to get rid of the garbage. And then the fourth point I want to illustrate. Asai, can you help me? I want to bring something in with this point of getting rid of the garbage ties right into my last point. Point number four is this: if we're going to get rid of the garbage, but number four, we got to go after. We want to get rid of the garbage. We're going to have to go after a new mind by gleaning from God's word. Get rid of the garbage. That's point number three. And when we talk about get rid of the garbage, garbage is in a couple of categories. One thing that we got to get rid of is no more selfishness. A selfish mindset. Sometimes it's me first. We got to get rid of the me first thinking. Some other garbage that we have is we got to get rid of the immoral, the sleaze, the sensuality that is in our world. We talked about lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, that bombards us by TV and social media. But another aspect of garbage that we got to stop is we got to get rid of the slander, the negativity. Some of us, we become garbage cans for other people's complaining. And church is a great place to find people that complain. Amen. Church folks have a reputation of being some of the most backbiting, complaining, slanderous people on the planet. And that is sad. I've had people that I work with that don't want to come to church because they've experienced folks talking about them so much, and they're not even in the church. That's a terrible reputation. That's not the mind of Christ. Our Savior, he went to those who were the least of these. He went to people people didn't want to hang around. We are supposed to be loving people into the kingdom, but what we're doing is we're slandering them out of it. See, God is saying we got to get rid of the garbage. And I'm here to tell you, you know what you got to do? I never forget when I used to go to this church in Philadelphia. I had a man he was a custodian at my school when I was at Temple University. And I would go to this church in Philadelphia, in West Philadelphia, and this guy was a custodian. He said, "Oh, you go to that church?" I said, "Yeah." And he started coming to me, talking to me about the pastor. I said, "Stop right there, please. I'm going to need you to stop right there. I don't need to know all that. First of all, that's not the person I know. And if it is true, look, you don't need to be talking to me about that. Please stop." And I shocked him because I told him, don't come to me with that garbage. That's what we got to get in the habit of. When people come to you with gossip and garbage, say, "Look, I'm not the place for you to leave that. You need to take that mess somewhere else. If what you're talking to me about, have you talked to the person about it? And if you have not, you need to take that somewhere else." We got to renew our minds. We got to renew our minds. We got to take out the garbage, get rid of the garbage, and go after a new mind by gleaning from God's word. If you're online, I hope you can see this. And if you're out there, I hope you can see this. I have a clear cup of water. Y'all see this? Honk if you can see it. Amen. I think I just like hearing horns. And I'm putting a couple of drops of some hot sauce in here. And as I put the hot sauce in, y'all can see the color of the water. Can y'all see that the water is kind of tainted at home? If you're in the chat and social media, you could say, "Yeah, I see it." Hopefully somebody's in there engaging you right there. So you can see the water now takes on an orangish color, right? Couple of drops makes it orange. I'm going to put a couple more drops in here. This is us when we ingest and digest the garbage of the culture of this world. Right? He wants us to have a new, clear mind, a mind that is filled up and thinking about all he's done. But when I fill myself up with television, Hulu, Netflix, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, I start looking a little cloudy. And I'm here to tell you, it didn't, but you notice what? It only took a few drops of the hot sauce to change the color. It only took a few drops of this hot sauce to change the color. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get this thing to be back clear again. And hopefully y'all can see me. I'm going to try to get this water to be clear again. Y'all see what's happening here? Still orange. Still orange. It's getting clear. Still got a little orange hue. We're getting about there. Listen. Looks clear now. Still got a little pieces of the hot sauce in there, but it looks a lot clearer. I had a whole pitcher of water. Took me a couple of drops of hot sauce to make the water cloudy, but took almost a whole pitcher of water to get it clear again. And it still ain't all the way clear. I'm here to tell you, it does not take a whole lot of this world's agenda to mess up your mind. But it's going to take a whole lot of digestion of the word to keep your mind clear. See, you're going to have to constantly, you can't do it, but when you're going to go after a new mind by gleaning from God's word, it's not going to happen by just 1 hour on Sunday. It's not going to happen by just 5 minutes, 1 or 2 days a week. You got to spend some time at the feet of Jesus so that he can give you the mind, his mind. You can have the mind of Christ. How do you get the mind of Christ? By sitting at Christ's feet. Just reminded me in the Gospels this week as I was reading about the last days of Jesus as he went through Bethany and he went to the home of Mary and Martha. And as he went to Mary and Martha's house, Martha was amped. She was excited because the master is at my house. Just like you, if Jesus came to your house, she was laying out a spread for Jesus. I'm like, Jesus is coming? Look, we're going to have everything. We know it's going to be fish, no ribs. It's going to be fish. We're going to have a whole lot. We're going to have a nice fish dinner for the Savior. You know he's Jewish. You can't give him ribs. We're going to lay it out for the Savior. And Martha is working. She's trying to get the table set. She's trying to get everything done. But Mary recognized this is the Messiah. This is the Master. While Martha, you getting ready, all Mary did is just sat there at his feet and listened to everything he had to say. And Martha was upset. She said, Jesus, I'm trying to get the house ready. I'm trying to get the food is cooking. And Mary is just sitting here. And Jesus says, she has chosen the better part. Why? Because she recognized when I'm in the room, all the work needs to stop. It's time to sit at my feet and glean from him. If you want to have the master's mind, you got to sit at the master's feet. And Jesus is saying, if you want a new mind, God is saying, if you want the mind of Christ, you got to sit at his feet. And it's going to take some time, y'all. He said, listen, he said, we must love the Lord, Matthew 22. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. 1 Corinthians 2 says, who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things. Why? For we have the mind of Christ. God is calling you. Listen, you gotta go after a new mind by gleaning from God's word. How do we glean from God's word? Yes, this is a way to do it. Time in church, in fellowship, in his word, but also in personal time with God. But not just in personal time with God. You know what? Also, you know what God is convicting? Sometimes what I listen to, the music that I choose to listen to. You know, my wife and I were talking the other day. She was either in a barber shop or a salon or somewhere, and she was listening to the music was playing. And she's like, there's no wonder our young people can't live for God if they listen to this all day. If I listen to the violence and the pornography and the immorality that comes out of the music, and I enjoy that and I digest that moment by moment, it's very hard for me to keep the mind of Christ. What are you listening to? What are you ingesting in your time when you're reading? Not only that, what are you looking at on social media? We talk about fasting. Some of us need to fast from our Facebook and Instagram feeds. Because there's so much, as I'm going through, we always can stop at the negative. There's so much that can get inundated. There's a season, sometimes there's a season and time we say, God, this week, you know what? I'm turning off the TV. I'm going to turn off the radio. Only thing I'm going to listen to is some worship, and I'm going to shut down my Instagram feed. I'm going to shut all that down because why? I need the mind of Christ. And this week, I want to spend time at your feet. Listen, if we're going to go after God's mind, it's going to require us to replace our old thoughts with God's thoughts. You got to replace your old thoughts with God's thoughts. You got to think about what he would have us to think about. Not only that, you're going to have to renew your commitment to God's kingdom. You got to renew your commitment to God's kingdom. And finally, rejoice in God's transforming work that he's working in your life. God is calling us, look, what's on your mind today? He's calling us to a new mind. He's calling us to a new way of living. And it starts with a transforming. Number one, you got to what? Grasp. You got to get a hold, get a grasp on all that God has done for you. Once you get a hold on all God has done for you, then you must give him your body as an act of worship. And having given him your body as an act of worship, the first thing on your agenda is say, look, I got to get rid of the garbage. What I got to get rid of, I got to get rid of the selfish mindset. I got to get rid of the sensuality that I'm inundating myself with in TV and social media. And I got to get rid of the slander. I got to stop talking about people and being a receptacle for people who talk about people. And then I got to go after God's mind by gleaning from his word. And the beautiful thing about it, guess what? It's so good, it's never too late. I was reading a little piece by John Piper. There's a pastor, John Piper, and his father was a fiery evangelist. And his father told a story about a man who his church had prayed for years and years to come and give his life to Christ. And this man, year after year, never gave his life to Christ. And one night after he preached the word and they sang a hymn, this man stood up and walked to the front of the church crying, weeping, and sobbing. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. And the man, he was weeping and he's sobbing, and he looked at the evangelist and he said, "Man, it's just too late. It's too late. He just wished he had done it earlier." And the pastor had to tell him, "Listen, it is never too late. If I haven't had the right mindset, if I haven't been living as God has called me to, guess what? You can get back at it." That's why the series was called Back At It, Prioritizing Our Relationship with Christ. I'm here to tell you, it's never too late to start fresh. You can't do anything about yesterday, but you can start with a brand new today. And today he's calling us, look, he wants you to be transformed. He wants you to walk in newness. He wants you to reflect his character. And it all starts by renewing your mind. The question today is, what's on your mind? I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you this week. Look, take an inventory of how much time, you know, your phone will allow you to do it too. Your phone will allow you to let you know how much time, screen time that you've had this week. It'll let you know. Take some inventory of how much time I've been on phone. Take some inventory of how much time I've spent TV and compare it to how much time I spent in the Word. I say it to my children all the time, and I know I sound like a broken record. I'm like, "Listen, how was your quiet time this morning?" And they go have that quiet time, but they'll have that time with the Lord, and it'll go by real quick. But when I see them on that game, they could be on the PlayStation for an hour and a half, 2 hours. I say, "Man, boy, if I could get myself disciplined enough," and I'm not telling you to spend 2 hours on the Word. I'm not telling you that. But if I could spend half the time that I do on other things in God's Word, I think we'd be dangerous. Amen? This week, let's make a commitment to diving in and renewing. Be intentional about renewing our mind by grasping a hold of what God has done for us. Giving our bodies to him as an act of worship, getting rid of the garbage that we've been inundating ourselves with, and then go after him, go after his mind by gleaning from his word. Amen? Amen. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for your truth. And we thank you for God being a God of another opportunity, another chance. And I pray, Heavenly Father, today for my brothers and sisters under the sound of my voice, those who are here, Lord God, on the parking lot, those who are watching at home, Lord God, who said, "Look, I want change. And I must admit that I have not been putting the right things on my mind. Today, I want to recommit myself to spending time in the Word of God and having my mind renewed." I pray, Lord God, now that as we do that, as we make that commitment, that we will surround ourselves with those that can help keep us accountable and encourage us in that commitment. And then as we do that, Lord God, that we will begin to see our lives transformed, that we'll begin to see, Lord God, a change in us that will result in people being drawn to the kingdom. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Finally, if you're watching today, and we talk about transform, we talk about change, the first thing that you need to do for all of us, because we're all born in sin, we're all born separated from God, and the first change that needs to, for all of us need to make is to move from darkness to light. And today, if you've never come to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life today, we want to give you an opportunity. I want to let you know, number one, that he loves you and he's got a plan for your life. And all of us have been separated from him by our sin. But today he says, if you admit to me, if you admit to God that you are a sinner. Sin just means to fall short of God's standard. God's standard is perfection. We serve a perfect God. His standard is perfection. And to sin means I've fallen short of his standard. If you say, "God, I admit I've sinned. I believe that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me, that he was buried and that he rose again. And I want to make a choice to invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sin and make me who you want me to be." He said, "When you do that, I will forgive every sin of yours, past, present, and future, and also promise to give you a life eternal with me. And then show you how to walk an abundant life right here on earth." If you'd like that relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, I'm going to pray a simple prayer of invitation. And I'm going to ask that you pray it after me. Simply says, "Dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit today that I have sinned against you. I believe that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I believe he was buried and rose again. Today, I invite you to come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you truly meant it, we want to know about it. We want to give you some tools to help you grow in your new relationship with Christ. You can go right to the website, encounterchurch.net/next. encounterchurch.net/next. Fill out that connect form that says, I accepted Christ today as my Savior. What do I do next? Or you can go, you can text us at that number I gave you earlier, 301-804-2520, and text the word next, N-E-X-T. We're going to send you something over the next 30 days to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Before we close out today, it's so fitting as we talked about that relationship with Christ that we go into our time of communion. I hope all of you have, if you have not received your cups and your wafer, you can get them at this time as we observe our time of Holy Communion. We do this every fourth Sunday. Every fourth Sunday, we observe communion where we commemorate Christ's death, burial, and his resurrection. I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you have not received a communion cup with the wafer and you're here in the parking lot, or if you're at home, hopefully you have. If you're at home, you don't have one of these, that's fine. Go in your cupboard. You got some bread, you got some juice there. Listen, I know it's not the customary, but what we're doing, he said we do this in remembrance of him. We don't want to forget what he's done for us. So whatever you have available to you at home, we want you to get it at this time. Amen. Amen. I'll be coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Remember I said get a grasp of all he's done for us? What did he do for us? God made him who did not know sin to be made sin for us that we might become the righteousness, be made the righteousness of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's done a great thing for us. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The Bible in 1 Corinthians says, for I received of the Lord from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You can partake of the bread. Chapter 11, verse 25 says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. To the lowest valley, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Brother Jamal, the praise team are going to come and continue that. And as they come, I'm going to give you an opportunity now to give your gifts. We thank God for your support, for all of you who have supported us here at Encounter Life with your financial gifts. We thank God for you. At home, if you want to give electronically, you can can do that on our website at encounterchurch.net. You can also give via Cash App, $EncounterLife. You can do that out here on the parking lot, or you can give the traditional way right here at the table for your gifts. Jackson, is she here? Amen. Amen. We want to honor her today. A milestone, 70 years. 70 years. We praise God for God blessing her with 70 years. We're going to sing happy birthday to Sister Jackson. I think she's over there in that section of the parking lot. She's over there? Okay, amen. Amen. So everybody, you're going to look towards her over there in that area, right over in there. She's on this side section of the parking lot. And on the count of three, we want to honor her on her 70th birthday. We praise God for her and just her family. I think her daughter and her grandson are here, too, for she and Brother BJ. We thank God. Oh, is she getting out the car? I see BJ, I think. Amen? Amen. Amen. Y'all ready? On three. Is she getting out, y'all? Oh, she's getting out. Okay, hold on. We want the guest of honor to come. We want y'all to see her. Amen. There you go. 1 second. Okay. He said 1 second. Amen. Amen. As you're doing that, as we're getting her out, just wanted to let you guys know next Saturday, the Rock Church also meets here on early Sunday morning. They have invited us to their Friends and Family Day. They're going to have a Friends and Family Day out here. They're going to have a fun time, a basketball tournament, food. And they'd like to, I talked to Pastor Jones, who's the pastor there. And she said, we'd love for you guys to come out and celebrate with us on Friends and Family Day. So next Saturday at noon, they'll be out here, or 12:30, I think. They'll be out. And they're going to have stuff for the whole family. So if you're in the area and you'd like to come out for Friends and Family Day and celebrate that with the Rock Church, we'd love to have you come out. Also, Saturday mornings, 10 to 11, soccer clinic. Please bring your kids out for soccer clinic 6 to 12 if you're watching online as well. Amen. I think she's ready. The grandchildren, she got her grandsons there. On three, y'all ready? On the count of three, let's honor her today.